Orchestra, thank you. We'll let you go. Thank you for playing all the time. God bless you. That's wonderful. Fellas, we'll let you go as well. Find your place to sleep. We're in the book of Exodus tonight. If you'll turn there, Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Thank you for this morning. God's people running buses, picking up people, teaching lessons, singing, all that you did. It was a great day in the Lord's house. We're in Exodus chapter 14. As you turn there, Exodus 14 is one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament. My favorite chapter is, I believe, the book of Genesis, his favorite story, Genesis 37 through 45, where Joseph makes himself known to his brother. My favorite book in the Old Testament is the book of Nehemiah. This text here, the first 13 verses, have meant so much to me. I've preached it here, this text, and I've preached it many places in the nation. I haven't preached it for years. I'm not going to speak on that subject tonight, but it's such a pivotal chapter. It is this chapter that from here on out, you'll hear all the prophets and you'll hear the men of God, Isaiah, Joshua, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Psalms, David, others. They'll quote this text of the Red Sea miracle. It is the moment when Israel gets out of Egypt. God won a great victory. And you'll see that in your Bible constantly. How he opened up that Red Sea and then how he brought the waters back down on those Egyptians. It's a powerful text, but before I get to the end of the chapter, I do want to speak for a few moments by way of introduction on these first 13 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. That they turn. God knew when he had them turn, they were going to be trapped. But God said, I want you to turn. Perhaps you're sitting here tonight in this auditorium and you feel trapped in your marriage or the breakup of your marriage or your situation in life, your finances, perhaps a prodigal son or daughter. And tonight you find that God says, I want you to turn. And it camped before Pi-hahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-zephon. Before it you shall encamp by the sea. This was God's idea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. The Egyptians were coming from behind. The water was before. There was no time to exit to the right or left and disperse. They were totally trapped. They could not go forward. They could not go backward. They could not turn to the right or to left. And God designed it that way. Because God knew he was going to pivot the nation Israel from this story, this moment. God said, I'll harden the heart of Pharaoh. What a hard heart. They had just gone through the 10 plagues, and then the chapter before when their firstborn were slaughtered that night, and God and Pharaoh said, get out of here, go. They said, we're not going before we spoil the Egyptians. Give us your silver and gold. And they were going to use that later in the house of God. He says, go. And after they left, then he pursued. And now they're trapped. Verse 9, the Egyptians pursued after them and the horses and the chariot of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because thou were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It's not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, for we have served the Egyptian. It had been better that we should have served the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. No, you're not going to have to die. I remember when I came to verse 13 so many years ago and preached to God's people. When trapped, number one, three words, verse 13. Read those three words. Fear ye not. When trapped, fear ye not. When trapped, two words. Read the next two. Stand. And then one word. See. See. That 3-2-1 has helped me over the last 15 years so many times. When trapped, fear not. Fear ye not. Stand still. See. Tonight we pick it up from that text moving forward, but you had to have the background. And tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject. When facing a battle, what do you do? When facing a battle, what do you do? Our Father, I love these people so much. And I pray that, God, we would believe you as you from your word outlined to the children of Israel when they saw no hope, no answer. When they were shut in and Pharaoh was coming and that Red Sea before them and it was hopeless. I pray that we'd realize that we all face battles in life. God, we want to watch what you can do. And I pray that tonight we would be helped. In Jesus' name, amen. When facing a battle, I want to remind you that God will always fight for you. He always will. Look what he says in verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. David was just but a youth, and now he's facing this great, huge giant by the name of Goliath. And he was reminded, the battle, chapter 17, 1 Samuel, verse number 47, the battle is the Lord's. What you face in your life, it's God's battle. God knew about it long before you saw it. And here these children of Israel, he said, I want to fight for you. Perhaps tonight you see your battle as anger or bitterness or depression. And we try to fight those things with counseling, with prescription drugs, and perhaps street drugs and alcohol. And we're trying to fight it with therapy and yoga and a change of venue. And all of our efforts are always in vain. And God says, I'll fight for you. I know all about the battle. You can stay on the winning side because God says he will fight for you. We want to fight. God says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he'll sustain thee. Psalm 55. You read this word, God will always promise his people that I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 14, would you read it with me? So consequently, you're in the midst of a battle. What shall we remember? Number one, verse 14, ready, begin. The Lord. And then I notice what he says in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? What are you crying about? This is not a crying matter. What are you crying about? I just redeemed you from Pharaoh. I saw you through the Egyptian conquest. And now I'm bringing you out and you're following my rules. And I turned you and you're following it. What are you crying about? Man up, grow up. And he said, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they two words. What are those two words? What are those two words again? Say it one more time like we mean it. Ready? What are those two words? God is not in the turning back mode. You're facing a battle. Let God fight it for you. Don't try to fight it. Let God fight it. You're facing a battle. Go forward. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel? I have. And sometimes battles come and they literally wear you down. And sometimes you begin to ask yourself, where can I go hide? Where can I just fly away, as the psalmist said? And just leave the battle. God says, son, don't leave the battle. Go forward. Always go forward. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. All these people in the Bible die. One day their battle will be over, and one day it was over, and God took them to heaven. One day your battles will be over. One day my battles will be over, and they just keep on coming all the time. That's part of life. I hope I never want to see Christ because I want to get out of a situation. But I can tell you in life, as you get older in life, those songs mean more to me than ever. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to say forever, sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, evermore to rejoice. Let God take you on his timetable. Until that time, keep letting God fight. Until that time, still press. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I find not only will God fight for you and for me, and I find that not only does God say, go forward, I find something else. Verse 16 and 17. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground in the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. And here it is. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. It's all about bringing praise and honor and glory to that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. We get to heaven, and in Revelation 5:8, the Bible says how that we will all assemble together and say, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and power and majesty. Oh, thank God for the fact that he can receive honor. Everything you do this week, everything I do this week, may we do it saying, God, am I honoring your name? Am I pleasing your name? Is this what Jesus would do? Is this the way Jesus would face this battle? Would he act like I'm acting? And if you can say yes, say to God be the glory, because he'll receive all the honor and the glory. But if you are planning your battle and dealing with your battle, it's going to come to naught. Pharaoh was planning, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. Notice what he says in verse 18. The Egyptians shall know, they shall know that I am the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's about getting God's name out there, letting God's name be exalted, God's name magnified. When I've got honor unto Pharaoh and his chariots, he tells us that again, upon his horsemen. Verse 19 is very important. And the angel of God. I'm so glad that God sends angels. I've never seen an angel. But they're ministering spirits. I believe a few times in my life where I could actually see an angel had to step in there and protect me. I will not tell you the illustrations, but I do know I can give you a handful that there was no way. It was so dangerous, and what could have taken place could have just completely destroyed our lives. I will give you one. For my mother and dad, when they were approaching the end of their journey, we felt like it'd be great to rent a motorhome and take them back to their roots in Wisconsin and Illinois so that they might see their friends and their places where they had lived. We took them on that journey, and it became a very difficult journey and a hard journey. We were coming home, and I rented one of these really nice ones so that it could be very comfortable for them. They were in their late 80s, I'm guessing. And I made it such a hard trip because it wound up that we had to push. And I didn't want it. It just worked out that way. And it wasn't what we had dreamed for my parents. And now I'm driving, and I'm coming in the state of Colorado. There was a long tunnel, and I was driving too fast. And I was in the fast lane, and when we came out, all of a sudden, when we came out of that tunnel, all of a sudden, I was in the slow lane, all of a sudden, when we came out of that tunnel, the traffic, big ass semi-truck right in front of me, a flatbed, just completely stopped. I would guess speed limit was 75 going into the tunnel. I don't know what it was in the tunnel. I know I was speeding. I guess now it had to be 70. Stop laughing, wife and daughter. When I turned that corner, literally, there was no way out. There was traffic here, and there was no edge. There's nothing. And I saw a little car, and behind me in my mirror, I could see it, and I began to wedge over, and they were blowing the horn, and I felt like saying, I have no option. Please. Oh, they were mad. They were mad. I don't know how I missed that big old windshield that was on that. I don't know how I missed that trailer. I promise had I hit that, we'd all been dead. I know that. I know it. My dad was sitting on that side in that front seat there. He perhaps would have been decapitated. I don't know. It was just impossible to escape. It was impossible. I know I would have perished immediately with that windshield being just right there. And my mother was in a nice chair, my wife there. I know. Had God not got in there? I don't know what God did, how maybe a guardian angel. I don't know how they opened what. I know it sounds crazy to you, but I was there. It was impossible. I can tell you times that I know that God did something. I can tell you times I know he did it. When I get to heaven, I wonder if there's a room up there when we go in and see all the prayers that were answered. I heard a preacher say there might be a room. I don't know. I doubt it. But wouldn't there be something if there's a room of all the prayers that were not answered because we never prayed them? But I wonder if there's a room, I doubt it, that could open the door and where this is where God sent an angel. I've never seen an angel when our loved ones die, but I felt the presence of something there. I can't explain it, and I'm not trying to get spooky and mystical. I can point to times where God miraculously must have sent an angel. They are ministering. Hebrews 1, they minister to us. Guardian angels. And my Bible says, watches the angel of God, which watches, went before the camp of Israel and removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, stood behind them. Wait a minute. Now the Israelites are seeing all this happening. This cloud is moving. Now what? Now what danger? God's working. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by the night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. The Jews, Israelites, and the Egyptians. And the Egyptians could not see them. And the Jews had light. God's angel did that. I want you to see the midst of your facing in your battle. God provides an opportunity for answers. He always does. And Moses, verse 21, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the wind to go back by a strong east wind all that night. It was made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. On the waters was a wall on them, their right, on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud that troubled the host of the Egyptians. They took off their chariot wheels and they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord, are you with me in verse 25? For the Lord, what's the word? For them. I told you that God said in verse 14, I'll fight. And now the Egyptians recognize it. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch forth thy hand over the seas. The waters may come again to the Egyptians upon their chariots and upon the horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to the strength. And when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. I want to say lastly, when you're facing a battle, God will fight for you. When you're facing a battle, go forward. When you're facing a battle, honor God. When you're facing a battle, give God opportunity to provide answers for you. Give Him space. Give Him opportunity. And when you're facing a battle, look what God can do. Verse 31, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Most of us, we face a battle and we do the opposite. We wage war. We create a formula how to solve the problem. God says, I've got it. I've got it. Be not dismayed. Whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to that unseen hand. Our Father, I doubt if these people ever know how much I love them.